The Lindy's Football Report. This is the Lindy's Football Report with Graham Dunn, Michael Butler, and Lynn Scarborough. College football in depth and complete in 30 minutes. The Lindy's Football Report is brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.
First and 10, Georgia. Bennett's gone under center now. Lone setback is Edwards. Play fake. Roll to the right a little bit. Set and throw. Deep ball for McConkie. He's open. That's a touchdown. He slides into the end zone. He was 5 yards behind his man. He beat the Dickens out of Slaughter. Slaughter got slaughtered, and McConkie with six.
In the shotgun, along with Emery. Here's the snap. Daniels looking left. Tosses it towards the end zone. Grabbing it. Mason Taylor. Back left corner. Touchdown, Mighty Tigers. Oh! 7 yard touchdown strike from Daniels to Taylor.
So, Kirby, were the Georgia fans loud enough? I knew a couple. They didn't have a voice on Sunday. We know there were in Death Valley, where LSU won over Bama, Georgia the big win over Tennessee. Decision Saturday for some, the Bulldogs mastering Hendon Hooker and that potent Tennessee offense. LSU won a back-and-forth battle against the Crimson Tide in overtime. Well, at least as of today, that could be the matchup for the SEC championship, but we do have 3 weeks left.
Seismograph, just got another reading on that highlight, what a win for both teams. A statement win for Georgia. They are back to number one where they were at the end of the year last year. And LSU's back in the conversation. Tennessee, I know they got some work to do. Alabama looks like they're out of the mix, at least for the moment, unless something really wacky happens. I thought about that with the way they lost and how Nick Saban went to that old chart excuse for the two-point play late. Boy, I think it's time to throw that chart away. They're kicking for the win. There's no OT. Maybe Alabama's still in the mix, if not.
Yeah, don't tell Woody Hayes or Bear Bryant you're throwing the chart away. I think they're the ones that came up with it.
It's 52 years old, Graham. Dick Vermeil was the first guy to use it as an assistant in college. It's time to dismiss it for good.
We should start a movement on that. Oh, and speaking of the noise, Tennessee had 5 false start penalties in Athens in the first half.
It matters.
Yeah.
It definitely matters. Tennessee will tell you it mattered when they played Alabama in Knoxville, and I guess it probably had an impact on Alabama and Death Valley, too.
Exactly. Well, the new college football playoff poll had plenty of changes after losses by top-ranked Tennessee, 4th-ranked Clemson, 6th-ranked Alabama. As expected, Georgia moved to the top, while the Big Ten foes, Ohio State and Michigan, moved in right behind them. The surprise might be TCU getting the 4 spot. The Vols dropped to 5th, but might be in a good position considering they have 3 winnable games and one of the Big Ten teams will beat the other. There are too many scenarios with games left, but what about the Pac-12? Can they get in for the first time since 2014? And is there a chance for a 2-loss team, LSU, should the Tigers win the SEC title? Well, if you ask former college coach and recruiter Max Howell, the chance for the LSU Tigers are slim.
If LSU wins out, which they can't beat Georgia, I think, but they'll probably represent the West. If they should upset Georgia, whatever, they aren't going to take a 2-loss team. It don't matter if they are conference champions. In my opinion, they will. So I still believe, though, and they don't announce this too often, but I think in a somewhat of a tie, let's just say, in the SEC, it did end up before Alabama lost 2, that they had 3 teams that were vying for 1 or 2 of the 4 spots. I think then they go to not only strengthen the schedule for the teams that they played, but also the teams that they played, their schedule, how strong was it?
There are way too many scenarios to go through right now to try to figure this out, but we are setting up for a very interesting last 3 weeks of the regular season.
Yes, and that's just it. There are 3 more weeks for everybody and 4 if you're playing conference championship games. And I do believe LSU is in the mix. I think if LSU wins it, and that's a big if, they got to win out, even with 2 losses, that they're going to be the SEC title winner. They're going to be in the playoff. I think so. And that there's a chance still for some of these other teams that may not win it. But there's just so many opportunities for those teams. They have to take care of their own business. And they'll continue to fall. I'm sure, we were thinking, well, they're not going to be in last week when we talked about, well, because Alabama will be in there and Clemson will be in there. They're not in there anymore, at least for now. And there'll be others that'll fall as the weeks go forward.
Yeah, it's funny you just mentioned those 2 teams, but a lot of teams are filling in where they didn't maybe think they had hope to do so. But thanks to Alabama and Clemson losing, they do. Georgia is back in the good graces of the pollsters, earning all but one first-place vote in the AP poll. The Dogs go to Mississippi State this week, looking to avoid a letdown after their win over Tennessee. According to Dan Matthews of 680 The Fan Radio in Atlanta, Kirby Smart should have his team avoiding that type of letdown.
You know, Kirby is a big believer in, you know, humility is a week away. You got to go to Starkville, a place that can be tough on opponents, and try to beat, a guy with an offense. This has been a secondary that has at times been exposed, a defense who at times has been exposed. And, that's something that I think now it's kind of, if you're a Georgia player or you're a coach, you just say, you know, we can't take anything for granted. We've got to be able to try to finish this thing out and get to Atlanta as a 12-0 football team and really give ourselves a pretty nice landing spot if indeed a hot SEC West team is able to have a great day, kind of like what we saw last year with Alabama.
We don't normally see Georgia, at least the way they are right now, have a letdown, but Mississippi State should not be ignored.
No, it's a tough environment. We're talking about home field advantages. Those cowbells mean something. But I think they've got wiggle room. Georgia can lose. They could still get into the championship game. They get that head-to-head over Tennessee like LSU does over Alabama and Ole Miss. And a one-loss champion is still going to go. They don't want to lose, but they definitely have a little bit of leeway.
And, oh, by the way, let's make sure Mike Leach leaves the chairs up for his team.
Yeah, they didn't deserve to sit down. That's what he said.
Okay, TCU made the big move this week in the playoff poll, taking advantage of losses by Alabama and Clemson. They moved to fourth, as we've already mentioned, and now set up to earn a bid. But chances are the Horned Frogs will need to be perfect to do it. The next test comes Saturday in Austin, where the Texas Longhorns await. The orange-clad Horns are not out of the picture for the Big 12 championship, but cannot afford another loss, with six teams still in the hunt for a berth. Texas has yet to lose a conference game at home, and they're coming off a big road win. Thanks to that win at Kansas State, Coach Steve Sarkisian likes where his team is heading into Saturday.
One of the things that naturally can happen is this giant sigh of relief, like, hey, we overcame that, and now we can relax. We've got more work to do, and I think our guys recognize that. They're hungry. It's always good when you get a win like that, and then here comes a top five team coming in to your own stadium on a Saturday night who's in first place in your league to get your attention quickly. You know, it didn't take long for them to recognize and to flip the switch and to get on to the next. So I think our guys are going to, you know, prepare really well. I think they saw a lot of value in their preparation last week, not only in meetings but on the practice field and the recovery. And we're going to need that again this week as we get ready to play.
Longhorns are a 7-point favorite here. You talk about a team that could ask what if. This is one of them. If they beat Alabama, if they don't lose some of those close games, we'd be talking about them in the playoff.
Yeah, you could. They've had some nice wins, and they've been close. But this would be a big one for them and a chance to get to that Big 12 championship game. They're in that hunt. TCU is in the college football playoff hunt. But let's stop for a second. Impressive year. Sonny Dykes, coach of the year candidate. They're not going to win out. Let's go on and just eliminate them now. Should we?
I think you let the loss do that. I don't know.
Well, I'm just saying. Yeah. All right. I just looked at the ESPN FPI, which you could take with a grain of salt, but 3.8% chance of winning out.
Ouch.
That's low.
That is low.
And I don't think it's that far off. I don't like those odds, Graham.
Did you vote in that FPI? I'm just asking. It's rare for Nick Saban's teams at Alabama to lose back-to-back games in the regular season. In fact, you have to go all the way back to his first year at the helm in 2007 for the last time that happened. After the overtime loss to LSU, that's where the Crimson Tide stands as it travels to Oxford to face Ole Miss this weekend. There have been a lot of questions surrounding Saban and his coaching staff and whether or not he will make changes after the season. But Rebels coach Lane Kiffin knows all about his opponent after spending 3 years with the Bama staff. While the Crimson Tide is the favorite, Ole Miss is playing better at the moment, having won 14 straight home games. Brett Norsworthy of the Ole Miss Radio Network considers this as a prime opportunity for a Rebel victory.
And I never like to use the word easy around playing Alabama, or really anybody in SEC, but getting them at home may be, air quotes here, the easiest that it might be in quite some time.
I agree with him. You're catching Alabama at the right time if you're Ole Miss.
At the right time this season, but not the right time after a loss because of what you just said. True. Alabama's got that run. It goes back to Nick Saban's first year. It hasn't lost back-to-back regular season games in 15 years. That's unbelievable, by the way. And I would say on top of that, that I don't think the dynasty is ending. Lane Kiffin referenced that himself, saying all you're doing is giving him not rat poison, but goat fuel. I like that even better than rat poison. Yeah, Alabama, the two losses have come at the end of the game on the last play. They're still a pretty good football team. They're just not doing what Alabama usually does, dominating teams.
They could easily be undefeated. They could also easily have four losses total.
That's right. That's why I expect this could be a close game. I think Lane Kiffin knows how to game plan. He's pretty good with that. He knows this team pretty well. I expect it'll be very close.
And Ole Miss has probably played Alabama as tough as anybody in the SEC over the last 7, 8, 9 years.
Definitely. And then we remember the one that was the championship year for Alabama the last time they were there, a shootout game. That would be fun to watch. Maybe we get another one of those.
You very well could. And one more thing. Will the streak continue? That is, will a transfer quarterback win the Heisman Trophy? Yes, it's early, but the candidates are beginning to line up, and from the looks of it, the winner may indeed be a quarterback that started his career somewhere else. That's nothing new with the likes of previous winners in the last few years, Joe Burrow, Kyler Murray, Baker Mayfield, all fitting that category. While the list includes players that haven't transferred, C.J. Stroud, Max Duggan, and last year's winner, Bryce Young, some of the favorites now include former Auburn star Bo Nix, now at Oregon, Caleb Williams, who started at Oklahoma but followed his coach Lincoln Riley to USC. Jaden Daniels has put himself in the discussion after leading LSU to a few big wins. He was at Arizona State last year, by the way. And some say one of the biggest favorites is Hendon Hooker, who is in his third year at Tennessee, but he started at Virginia Tech. We've got three games plus conference championships remaining, but it's clear that the winner could come from that pool. Unless, of course, Stetson Bennett of Georgia wins it. Then again, technically, he's a JUCO transfer as a walk-on who was once at Georgia and came back. Never mind. For this week's U.S. Farm Raised Catfish Catch of the Week, it's back to Baton Rouge, where LSU went for the win with a two-point conversion in overtime, a pass from Jaden Daniels to Mason Taylor to beat Alabama. Here's Chris Blair with a call on the LSU Sports Network.
Mason Taylor, the tight end, right of the formation. Williams in the backfield. Alabama can't get the players off the field. They just got him off. They had 12 on the field. Here we go. Snap to Daniels. Sprint out. Throw to the right. Caught. Right corner of the end zone. Mason Taylor. Tigers win. Tigers win.
Remember, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. To find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
This is the Lindy's Football Report.
Attention all military and first responders. In honor of your service and support for our country, Academy Sports and Outdoors is proud to offer you 10% off in-store or online purchases from October 23rd through November 13th. Plus, free in-store pickup on online orders in just 2 hours. Redeem your 10% off at your local store with a valid military or first responder ID or online at academy.com/discount. Offer valid October 23rd through November 13th.
Saturdays are all about college football. Your tailgate matters too. Make it great with U.S. Farm Raised Catfish. Catch up on all the great recipes by visiting our website. Check out our videos and learn about how U.S. Farm Raised Catfish makes every Saturday exceptional, no matter the outcome of the biggest games. As always, it's fresh from our ponds to your plate. Remember, like we say every week, for the tailgate tent or the pregame party, U.S. Farm Raised Catfish is always the winning catch. Find out more, visit uscatfish.com.
Lindy's, America's leader in providing great magazines and specialty publications covering the gamut of sports. For daily updates, check out lindysports.com with original content, including features, columns, and predictions. lindysports.com also features photo galleries, fantasy sports news, and up-to-the-minute items to keep you abreast of events from the ever-changing realm of sports. Lindy's, America's leading sports authority.
The Lindy's Football Report.
Overtimes happen, especially when Alabama and LSU get together. Here's Michael Butler.
Saturday night's overtime game between Alabama and LSU was the fifth in the history of the series. More than any other rivalry, the overtime rule was implemented in 1996 for college football. Prior to that, teams were relegated to kissing their sisters. That expression's been applied to ties, the earliest going back to 1953 in a college game between Duke and Navy. There have been five Alabama-LSU tie games to go along with a quintuplet of overtime games. In those OT matchups, LSU is 3-2. The winner of the previous four have gone on to represent the West in the SEC championship game. The LSU-Alabama winner is 2-2 in those games. LSU's now the front runner of the West and have a head-to-head tiebreak over Ole Miss and Alabama, who play each other this week. Nice work for the first-year coach, Brian Kelly. Even with two losses overall, the Bengal Tigers are back in the national title hunt. It was 15 years ago, the 2007 season, when a two-loss LSU team won it all. That's the only team in the BCS CFP era to do so.
Time for our weekly visit with Lynn Scarborough from Lindy's and LindySports.com. Lynn, the Georgia Bulldogs, I think, stated their case, did they not?
They did. And I really don't think anybody can argue against this. I mean, I guess Ohio State and Michigan could try to. Ohio State, you know, is getting a couple of votes here and there in different polls. But I think there's no question that right now Georgia's the best team. I mean, every team that, you know, that comes up against them, they put them down. It's kind of ironic. The only close game, really, that they've had, with any question, was against Missouri. So, you know, funny things can happen, but it'll take a funny thing for Georgia not to ride out this regular season and be number one, and more power to them. I mean, the target's been on their back from the start. They were undefeated, you know, going in, and they're close to being undefeated going out. So congratulations so far for the Dogs.
And they were number one in this week's college football playoff poll, which did have some changes thanks to some losses by the top team, Tennessee, to Georgia, and some others.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you've had more topsy-turvy in the last couple of weeks than you normally have, going kind of simultaneously. I evaluated the poll and a couple of observations on it. Obviously, Ohio State and Michigan play each other, and it's unlikely that either one of them is going to lose another game. So they're probably going through this thing. The winner of that's probably going through it undefeated. I think Tennessee is probably in the best position to make the Final Four. That's including of any team. And their reason, because they play Missouri, South Carolina, and Vanderbilt the next three ball games. Anything's possible with some of the upsets we've had this year. But I think it's unlikely that Tennessee loses a ball game in the regular season. Because they played, got beat by Georgia, that could turn out to be a blessing in disguise for them, because they don't have to play in the championship game, which means LSU or whoever ends up being the Western Division champion, they don't have a chance to lose there. So that it's likely that they go through the regular season 11-0 and go through the postseason or the conference championship weekend at 11-0. And if that's the case, then they're going to move up into the top group. TCU has got a tough row. They're undefeated still, and they certainly could win out. But they play at Texas this weekend. They're an underdog. And after that, they play at Baylor. So they could lose either one of those ball games. And then let's look at Oregon. They're number six in the poll. They have the toughest row of anybody that's in the running. They play Washington State this weekend. I mean, they play Washington this weekend. They're number 25 in the poll. Utah the next week, they're number 13 in the poll. Then at Oregon State, their in-state rival, who up until last week was in the poll. And then if they run through those, they got to play the winner of the Southern Cal-UCLA game as the champion of the other division. If they run that gauntlet, they certainly should be in the Final Four. So you still got a lot of teams in there. Clemson and North Carolina have to play each other or don't play each other, and both of them have just one loss. So if they were to run the table, they'd play each other probably in the championship game. So there's still a lot of teams in it. But I like Tennessee's chances. I think if I had to put my money on one team that is more likely to make the Final Four than any other, I think I'd go with Tennessee.
And you've already mentioned this, the fact that Alabama kind of did that a few years ago. They didn't make it to the SEC championship game, but they made it in the playoff. And, oh, by the way, they also won the national championship.
Alabama lost to Auburn, so they didn't win their state championship. They didn't win the Western Division championship. They didn't play for the SEC championship, so they kind of backed in the door. And then they won the thing. So Tennessee is sitting in that same catbird seat that Alabama found itself in that season.
Back to TCU for just a minute. We all sort of agree that if they lose, they're out. The question is, if they don't lose, Are they out? There are some that say they won't have the, even with an undefeated season, they may not have the resume to get in.
I don't agree with that. If you've got an undefeated Power 5 team that's gone through a 12-0 season and then won their championship game, they're sitting at 13-0 and they've won a championship, and you've got other teams with one or two losses, the entire idea of the playoff with a Power 5 system becomes hypocritical. I think if the loser of Ohio State, Michigan, will be a one-loss team that certainly would have an argument. Tennessee is a one-loss team that would have an argument. If Oregon runs through the gauntlet they've got to run through, they certainly would have an argument. But I would have a hard time leaving out a Power 5 conference team that went undefeated.
Still got 3 weeks to go, plus the conference championships. We'll talk about what happens this week now, as we've got several games to go over. We'll start first in the ACC. We're not talking about this one-loss team much, North Carolina, and they've got to go to Wake Forest.
That game right there is worth the price of the ticket. If I didn't have something else to do, I'd drive to North Carolina for that one. That's the quarterback match between Drake May and Sam Hartman. And you won't find a better quarterback match than that anywhere this season. Drake May is a dark horse for the Heisman Trophy. And I'm going to take North Carolina. They're playing at Wake Forest, so it's certainly not a sure thing. But I'm going to take North Carolina to win the game.
We aren't talking about Tulane, who also was a one-loss team, but they've got a tough chore. They've got to beat Central Florida, who's gotten hot of late.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Central Florida. You know, they've had a couple of big wins. You know, inexplicably, they lost to East Carolina, and I can't figure that one out. But I think Central Florida's got a better team. I'll go with UCF.
The aforementioned TCU, they're on the road at Texas. The Longhorns are the favorite here, though.
Yeah, about a touchdown. I've covered several games at Texas. It's a very tough place to play. A lot of tradition there. I've been waiting for the shoe to drop on TCU every week. They've come close to losses a couple of times. I'm going to say it's going to come this time. I'm going to take Texas with a home field advantage to win that game over TCU and give them their first loss.
LSU off the big overtime win over Alabama now goes on the road to play Arkansas.
I don't have a strong feeling on this game. We've got a lot of affiliates in both of these markets. LSU is on the uptick with their win over Alabama. Arkansas is on the downtick with the loss to Liberty. You know, they were picked high. They've already got four losses. I'm going to take LSU, but it's not a strong lean.
All right. How about Georgia? Same thing. Off the big win over Tennessee, they go on the road to Starkville to play Mississippi State.
Yeah, I don't mean it ugly toward Mississippi State. Again, we got affiliates in both places, but all things equal, Mississippi State is not a match for Georgia. Georgia should win this game comfortably unless something unusual happens.
And then Alabama goes on the road. They're at Ole Miss.
Yeah, I just got a gut feeling that Alabama's going to win. I can't see them losing. Alabama was ranked number one in the country. I can't see them having three losses in their own conference. It could happen. It's a must-win for Ole Miss. We're not mentioning them either. They're sitting there with one loss. They're number 10 or 11 in the poll, and they could keep their hopes alive to go to the SEC Championship and the CFP. But they've got to win this game. The pressure's on them. I take Alabama to win it.
And let's hear your upset special.
I'm going to the Big Ten. I'm going to take Iowa to knock off Wisconsin. Both of these teams have been disappointing. They both have a 5-4 record, but Iowa's, their offense, which wasn't very good, has been improving. They've had a top defense in the country all year. They're playing at home. I want to take the Iowa Hawkeyes.
This has been the Lindy's Football Report, brought to you by U.S. Farm-Raised Catfish and Academy Sports and Outdoors.